right here on VOA Africa.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yarborough, and we'll be together for the next 2 weeks as I fill in for Sonny Young while he's on vacation. Welcome to the July 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We start off today's show with an update of the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup underway in Australia and New Zealand. Colombia beat South Korea 2-0 in both teams' opening match, putting Colombia in second place in Group H behind Germany. The Philippines beat host nation New Zealand 1-0, making Group A a very interesting one because both teams have one win and one loss. Also, in Group A, Switzerland and Norway drew 0-0, leaving Switzerland at the top of the group with a win and a draw. I will keep you all updated for the Women's World Cup daily. Sticking to the Women's World Cup, Jennifer Okoye is a former media officer of Nigeria's national under-20 women's football team. She tells reporter Mike Mbonye that Zambia's Copper Queens loss to Japan is a learning lesson for them. Japan beat Zambia 5-0 in their opening match. Okoye says the Copper Queens have another challenging game tomorrow against Spain. The Spanish side beat Costa Rica 3-0.
It was not the best of debuts for the Copper Queens of Zambia. Very sad one. Honestly, losing 5-0 to Japan and their first World Cup attempt, I know it's something that nobody's happy about, especially people from Zambia. 10 minutes into the second half, Japan doubled their lead. And it was from Tanaka Mina, who actually slotted home Endo Jones' pass beyond Zambia's keeper, Catherine Musonda. And then talking about their goalkeeper, we all know what happened. It wasn't something that anybody is happy about, you know, getting that red card and then being substituted with their second goalkeeper. It wasn't something that everyone was expected, but it happened. I would say that it's not something that is so Zambia, but it's their debut. And then, of course, it means that now they have the experience. They have started the World Cup. They know what it feels like. They know what it looks like. Because I would say that one of the things that worked against the Zambia national team is that it's lack of experience. There's so much that happened that it was just a lack of experience. I mean, the goalkeeper, what happened in that penalty shootout, the first one, you know, she didn't stay at the line. She got off the line in between. I mean, and then that penalty, she saved the first one, and then the second one was taken, and then that goal was scored. So Zambia team, I would say that at some point they were totally 100% disorganized, you know. And then Japan is a World Cup started, so it's a very good one for Japan. But for Zambia, it was really a very sad one, something that they would always pray that they would never experience such.
Copper Queens were without some key players, coupled with red card given to their goalkeeper. Do you think these factors affected the team?
That red card actually disorganized Zambia team. It got them disoriented. In the 98th minute, Japan were awarded a penalty, and Zambia keeper Musonda sent off for a foul on Uke Rico. And then Rico converted that penalty from the spot to put Japan 5-0 ahead, 11 minutes of added time. Honestly, I was asking myself, what was their offense? Why? What happened to Zambia? What happened to Zambia national team? And if you look at it very well, if you trace it very well, I don't think it was just the World Cup. I think before the World Cup, there were some slight issues that they were having, even back home before they got to to their venue of the World Cup before they travel down to Australia. But for Zambia national team, I believe that whoever is in charge or the people that are in charge, they have seen the lapses, especially the coach. You know, I just hope that he has been able to trace some differences, some things that has happened in that team that has made them to perform that woefully. I believe that there's a whole lot that they have learned from their first game, and in their second game against Spain, I believe that they will come out better.
The Copa Queens will play Spain in their next Group C game. Do you think there could be an upset in the encounter?
Well, whether there could be an upset, it's something I can't really say for sure. But from what happened in your first game, you know, and then playing Spain, it's going to be very, very difficult for Zambia. It was a one-way traffic as they really placed themselves in a position of, a serious attack, against Japan. So I'm not too sure that something magnificently wonderful is going to happen against Spain. But let's see how that actually pans out. Let's see what happened at the end of 90 minutes. But I just believe that Zambia, that they have actually spoken to themselves, and then, be able to make a promise to themselves that they are going to do their best in that in the second game against Spain.
That was Jennifer Okoye, the former media officer of Nigeria's national under-20 women's football team, speaking with reporter Mike Mbonye from Enugu, Southeast Nigeria. In more football news, Kylian Mbappe, regarded as one of the best in the world, has been the trending topic of social media for the past few days. The Saudi club Al Hilal has submitted a record bid of $332 million for the PSG striker. Italian journalist Fabrizio Romano tweeted out, "If this deal goes through, it would be for 1 year, and Mbappe has the option to re-sign as he will be a free agent in the summer of 2024. The story has picked up so much traction that NBA superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo posted a selfie on Instagram saying, "Al Hilal, you can take me. I look like Kylian Mbappe." I'll keep you all updated with any new developments. Now on to basketball. The NBA Summer League just wrapped up, and man, was it exciting to say the least. Fans got to see a glimpse of the top picks of this year's NBA draft, such as number one pick Victor Wembanyama, a French national with ties to the DRC, Brandon Miller from Alabama University, and Scoot Henderson, who played for the NBA G League Ignite before becoming a lottery pick. I had an in-depth conversation with my colleague, Sheck Tierro, about the African players that made their debut in the Summer League, how the BAL and NBA Africa Academy are helping younger players go straight to the NBA, and what African coaches could pick up from the NBA and bring back to the continent. Take a listen. On the show here today with me, I have my main man and VOA colleague, Sheck Tierro. Sheck, it's nice to have you on the show with me today.
Thank you, Mukbil. Nice to be here today to talk about ball.
Absolutely. Basketball, 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 man.
Yeah.
Let's get straight to it, Sheck. Let's talk about NBA Summer League 2024.
Yes, 2K24.
2K24 and what it meant for African players, especially players involved in the BAL and the NBA Africa Academy.
Mukbil, this means that Africa is inevitable when it comes to basketball right now. We used to be really tall and big men, you know, but now we see that we get drafted now. Before, it was not a lot of NBA players from Africa on the draft. You know, they get into from Europe majority of the time, and in the draft, even most Africans from the draft this year from Europe, we can see them. They're dominated in Europe. But we start seeing also players that grew up to NCAA in the United States that's getting drafted. We saw the kids from Senegal, Washington State that was drafted. And even though it was late, it went second round, I believe.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of players that's coming. I think it sounds good for Africa because soccer was the number one, but basketball is getting right up there now. As how many players now this year? Or about 10 or more from Africa background that was drafted this year, which is really good. And last year with the, I think we saw Nigeria have 7 players or 6, you know, the previous draft. But this year we went more than previous years, which is very good for Africa basketball.
Right. No, that's a very good point. Also, to me, the most interesting thing is if you really look at the face of the league now in the NBA, it's very diverse.
Yes.
You know, before it was like, you know who the main key players are, mainly American players. But now it's almost like the globe and the world has caught up, including Africa,
yep.
while having this year's MVP was Joel Embiid,
mm-hmm.
Cameroonian descent. And, Giannis is one who has ties. He is Nigerian as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, my question to you would be, do you think that the BAL and NBA Africa Academy can become sustainable pipelines for players to go straight to the NBA? Or do you think, as you just mentioned, the pathways to the NBA would still be more through NCAA and Europe?
No, I think that was the main point to create a Basketball Africa League NBA Academy, because they start early. You see what I mean? Before, we don't used to start early. Mm-hmm. You know, the fundamental is not there. Even if you see that there's two big men that was not drafted, that was very shocking. Shebu from Kentucky, Oscar Shebu, and the kid from Mali, Adama Sanogo, that was not picked from UConn. They went to NCAA. We saw them in the White House here when they came to give the Biden the T-shirt tradition when you went in NCAA.
Right.
So we see that, players can come from NBA Academy because they start early. When you come talk about Academy, you talk about 14 years old, younger, like, you know, at early age. You know, so the talent requirement, NBA make sure they implemented it, what it's looking for and fundamental from high school here, from sixth grade level, to teach them, have them in a dorm. Have them in the classroom, academic, they're on time, discipline, you know what I'm saying? So it's doable. They come straight from NBA Academy because it's only NBA branches in Africa, you know, which we see. We saw players got drafted first round from NBA, Junior NBA Academy, but they got into the D-League, you know, so you don't necessarily got to go to college or high school, you know, Europe. You know, you can directly come from that league. And which is very good. I like, you know. I think NBA have a branch. You know, we saw ball. They create ball, and ball is also there. You know what I'm saying? We don't be surprised if we see players coming from ball, but it all starts with the NBA Academy and Junior NBA from there. So the players can get the fundamental they need, because big men's like the reason why we didn't see Oscar get drafted and Sanogo get drafted, because NBA, if you're 6'9", they still want you to be able to dribble now.
Right.
You know, majority of players, 7 feet on Wambe,
right.
He can dribble.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody that was drafted this year as a big man, you ISO player.
They can do everything.
They can do everything. They just don't looking for big men who can bank big posts on the post and score home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They want people that can be able to dribble and isolate ISO players outside of the three-point line. You can see that with NBA Academy Junior, because they teach them early. You see what I mean? So
yeah.
It's very doable that, you know, more players come from NBA. But right now, the NBA best players, you know, like Giannis, we talk about the Giannis, we talk about Wemba, we're talking about Joel Embiid, we're talking about many, many players, you know, that came from Africa. They all are back African background. That really show you that Africa got talent, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, Sanogo, I think he was a pivotal player for the UConn Huskies to win.
Yeah.
But you're right. Being 6'9 and not having the ability to put the ball on the floor and really handle the basketball and you know, kind of, like you said, be an ISO player,
yeah.
It's very problematic in the new NBA. The new NBA, the skill level is heightened now.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. In the NBA Academy, you have players now, they're building these kids up from really young, 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
And once you get those fundamentals, then the game becomes easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on one of the MVPs from the BAL, Alio Diarra, and he was called up to play for the Milwaukee Bucks in the Summer League. What was it like for him to be in the Summer League?
It is a quite a good experience, Mukbil, coming all the way from Mali and never got a chance to play a professional, and being around NBA draft players is very rewarding, even though you don't play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a quiet experience for him. And we know he will become the defensive player of the year for both last season, the third season. And it was a quiet experience for him. But unfortunately, when he got here, he tweaked his ankle with new shoes.
Oh.
So he missed a lot of the game. And he was in the same team with Taco Fowl and Milwaukee Bucks. And it was a quiet experience. I had a chance to talk to him. You know, I was supposed to go see him. He's actually right now in Arizona.
Okay.
You know, hopefully he's going to get a shot to find a D-League team in the United States, and that will be good for him, because that's what we want to see. You know, we also see that many players not only him, many players that had a chance to get out to play against teams like Kentucky and global international tournament in Canada. Mm-hmm. And with the ball did the selection and expose all these players that play against high top college players, you know what I'm saying? So it's a very good to see now, you know, African players coming straight from Africa to NBA.
Yeah.
And Aliu was in a draft. His agent put him on a draft.
Right.
So people know about him. People look him up. And he had a chance to get something. But hopefully he will get a D-League, D-League Ayton from Vegas, which lands so many players in NBA over years because they work with player development. And they put players in a position to go to the NBA. Why not? And that he get a chance to go to NBA from there. But although Mukbil is a local player, like you all mentioned before, he's a local player from Mali, never got out of the country.
Right.
And crazy talent. You know, there's many, many, many players like that in Africa that didn't get a chance to get exposed. Now we're seeing it in life.
Right. But, we said he was Defensive Player of the Year, but not only defensively, offensively, he was also amongst the top league scorers.
Yeah.
He's a double-double machine, man. Yeah. He's a really, really young, bright future for the young man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lastly, there was also some former BAL players, like former captain U.S. Monastir Radwan Silmani, that was on the coaching staff for the Summer League for the Brooklyn Nets. What were your thoughts on that? And how does that help the potential coaching in the BAL in the future?
Well, absolutely. You know, Sulemani, we all know, is a very experimental player, Mukbil. And NBA, when you talk about ball, you know, this NBA is a mecca, you know what I mean? It's all connected. And for NBA to have a branch in Africa called ball, and it's all connected. You know, it's all internal, and NBA is aware of ball. Ball is aware of NBA. So it's going to be good for him to have a coaching experience, even though he's not a coach, assistant coach. Maybe go back. Who knows, will be U.S. Monastir head coach one day. Mm-hmm. You know, he have too much experience playing for that team for so long. So I'm very excited. You know, this thing is very broad, Mukbil. You know, you can bring players, you can bring coach, you can bring assistant coach, you know, to the NBA. Mm-hmm. You can bring former players. You know, we saw that on a lot of former players for NCAA from Africa are running ball. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The head coach for the team, global team that went to Canada, the head coach was a former athlete from NCAA. So you see basketball is spreading in Africa in a lot of level as coachings, you know, socioeconomy impact, you know. You will see NBA do that in here, ESPN, you know, all this commercial, you know, all this stuff that's going on that's bringing money into the community and bringing money into industry. That's what you're going to see through this thing that's going on. I'm not surprised that he's there because, like, he's an old man, you know.
He's a very
experimental player.
I was shocked that he was still playing in his
40s. Yeah, absolutely. And it will be a quiet experience for him. Who will know? He will come coach his team one day.
Right.
And if not, we might see more coaches from ball or more event in the United States during Summer League, because they talk about it when they have a side event for coaching, a clinic, you know, and have NBA coaches, you know, teaching them, you know, show them the way so they can carry back to the Africa. This is the, how you call it, footprint to improve the game, you know, and in technical side of the game, you know, when it comes to officiating, referee rules, you know, players might have talent, but there is rules to be implemented.
The structure
absolutely is
being built.
Now. Absolutely. So this is also, I'm pretty sure this is also part of the vision of ball and NBA, because they want to make the level match, you know, so African players don't have to really be like, oh, I gotta go to high school in America, I gotta go to NCAA. You have a league right at your door to get into and come to the NBA straight from there, you know, and that's very good, good things to see, Mukbil.
I love that, man. Yeah. You know, we can always chat all day, man. Sheikh, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show with us. We'll definitely have you on again to talk some more hoops, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely. Anytime.
That was my colleague, Sheikh Tierro. And I'll definitely have him back on to talk more hoops soon. Sticking with basketball news, sadly we hear Bronny James, son of NBA superstar LeBron James, was hospitalized after going into cardiac arrest at a practice at the University of Southern California yesterday. A family spokesman today said medical staff treated the 18-year-old James on site and he was transported to a hospital where he was in stable condition. He said the family asked for respect and privacy and said the family will update the media. The spokesperson also said Bronny's parents thanked the USC medical and athletic staff for their dedication to the safety of their athletes. Bronny James announced in May that he would play college basketball for the Trojans as an upcoming freshman.
He was one of the top high school prospects in the country, wishing Bronny and his family well. Now on to news from netball. The She Cranes of Uganda are one of the teams representing Africa at this year's Netball World Cup tournament that will take place in South Africa from July 28th to August 6th. They're expected to do well in the tournament. Reporter Magume Davis Rukaringi caught up with them ahead of their trip to Cape Town and follows this report from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty Netball World Cup greetings to Tom McBeal and our listeners. Contact. Uganda Netball World Cup team, the She Cranes, engage in a practice match in Mpiji District, about 30 kilometers outside the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Fred Mugerwa, the team coach, acts as an umpire as he monitors how the girls play. For more than 2 months, She Cranes have been training here, two sessions a day, and at times having high-intensive practice games, including facing male counterparts. Goalkeeper and shooter Anisha Mohammed says herself and colleagues are in great shape and ready to face the world's best. The imposing, versatile player who plays for local club Kampala City Council Authority Netball Club says she knows the importance of excelling at such a stage.
You've been presented an opportunity to not only improve your ranking, but also play the game, you know, of netball. At times, it's not even about representing your country. It's about representing yourself as an individual to get those opportunities. If you want to go out there and play extremely professional, then you've got to put certain things into consideration. When the coach gives you an opportunity, it doesn't really matter how long you play on court. It is what you play on court that really matters.
The team is short of shooter Peace Proskovia Drajole, also known by her court name, World Tower, arguably Uganda's best netballer of all times, ruled out because of injury. In her absence, England best Mary Shulhok Noba joins the team and be ready to do the needful alongside team captain Irene Eyaru. It was not easy making it the final squad, says Eyaran Mohammed from a regional pool of more than 30 players someone about 4 months ago. Eyaru, who has been playing netball since as a small girl and an integral member of the She Cranes since 2015, calls it a greatest achievement being selected as a captain.
I used to admire how how they make it like to be the captain. So it's like for someone to be like a leader, there are so many things which they normally consider. First of all, discipline must be the first thing, or like hardworking. If you're somebody who is well disciplined and you're hardworking all the time, so that's not anytime opportunities can knock you. So by the time they told me like I'm going to lead the team which will be going to the World Cup South Africa, so I was so extremely happy because I didn't expect that, because being the World Cup, because this is the highest top of the level in sports. Because for someone to lead, let me say, the team to the world, it's not an easy thing, as you say.
The game of netball in Uganda may not be one of the best-paying jobs in the country, but is steadily growing and has considerable benefits like scholarships and a chance to represent the country. One player here, Stella Nafuka, says she knows what it means playing at such a stage. Nafuka and Noba are the only two She Cranes players with World Cup experience, having featured at the last World Cup held in Liverpool in 2019 and helped her team to emerge seventh. Nafuka says she believes her experience will be handy, not only for herself, but for the rest of the team.
I got a lot of experience, skills from the professionals, and I also got a chance to play with the professional, of which I'm also eyeing to four. Of course, you have to work hard so that you can compete probably with the other teams from other countries. Yeah, of course, I've always told them like to be confident in what they do and also loving to hear the advices from the coaches.
Uganda is playing at this stage for the fourth time, having finished in the top 10 at the Liverpool tournament, consequently earning an 8th place in the world rankings. The She Cranes have to navigate against defending champions New Zealand Silver Fins, Trinidad and Tobago's Calypso Girls, and underdogs Singapore in Group D. Head coach Fred Mugerwa says the She Cranes fans should expect a better performance as the tournament is held for the first time on African soil.
We are going to compete whichever countries that is there, and I think What our goals are, first of all, to better our position that we maybe had in the last World Cup. And this time we are looking high to better that position so that we can be at least a step or two above that position that we had last time. Our strength is the collective, it's teamwork. That's our strength. We believe in teamwork. We don't want to say that we are very good in shooting or very good in defense, but what we are saying, our strength is the teamwork that we have.
Player Anisha Mohamed agrees.
The goal is to actually win the trophy, and that is why they present a trophy in every tournament. But we set really short-term goals for ourselves in this particular tournament, take each day at a time. We have our group stages, and those are the most important. If you want to get that far, you've got to actually go out there and rumble in the group stages. If we can come out from that group stage as number one, then it's going to give us an opportunity to actually go out there and perform extremely well. We can go as far as we want. It's all about us. Like I said, our coach is constantly remind us of how amazing we are and what we can bring to the table. So it's just about us to go out there and do the job.
And the Shikrens were even more famous as they expressed their dancing prowess, the local song Babadana, the excitement of fans both on court and millions more watching on television. A thing they say they are practicing to repeat this time again. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Ugume. Davis Ruakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. And lastly, looking ahead to next year's Summer Olympics, the organizers of 2024 Paris Games today unveiled the torches that will be carried the Olympic flame to the opening ceremony next July. The organizers revealed French designer Matthew Lehenor's torch design as part of a week activities marking the year-to-go countdown to the July 26th opening. There will be 2,000 torches, each a sleek silver-colored cylinder of recycled steel that weighs 1.5 kilograms and stands 70 centimeters tall. Once the torch is lit in ancient Olympia in Greece, the flame will be transported by boat to the French city of Marseille. The torch relay will start there on May 8th, with 10,000 torchbearers taking turns to carry it, the last of them lighting the cauldron at the opening ceremony. And that's a wrap for the July 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, plus 1202-258-3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a report we did that mattered to you. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa, or tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number, again, is plus 1-202-258-3076. Tell us your name and where you live, and you might hear your comments on our shows. And thanks for 60 years of support.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturday. Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05.